Welcome, everyone, to the Story Cafe podcast. I am Adriana. I'm your host to the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about perspective taking. And I noticed in my last podcast that I often say we are going to talk about. And I think I've been trying to not do it. So like this is like the third time I've tried to record this podcast. And I just keep saying, we're going to talk about. And at the end of the day, I think it's because I honestly feel like I'm talking to someone. And I don't feel like I'm doing this just for me. I feel like hopefully there'll be some folks out there that listen. And so it just kind of feels intuitive to say that we are going to talk about, even though it's just me. So if it drives you crazy, I'm sorry. Please know that I did try to stop saying it. And it just wouldn't work. So here we are. So today is all about perspective taking and how our perspective of the things around us, of the world around us, impacts how we feel, and a little bit about how we can try to shift that if it's helpful and peel back some of those layers. So when I think about the very first time I understood that we see the world differently, was when I was like 12 or 13 years old. And I think up until that point, maybe not fully when I was 12 or 13, but certainly when I was a young kid, I just saw the world, like I thought everyone saw the world the same as I saw the world. And it really came as a surprise when I was 13 and had this kind of aha moment when I realized that that's actually not true. And there's a lot of things that can impact how we see the world. So when I lived with my mom till I was like 6 and a half, almost 7. And we lived in Halifax and we didn't drive. My mom didn't drive. We took the bus everywhere or we walked everywhere. And we often went to the Halifax Commons, which is pretty sizable park, I guess, in the middle of Halifax. And I loved it there. It was, we passed it a lot on the way home because it was close to where we lived. And in the summer, they had a pool and they had a splash pad. And it was just this wonderful place. And they had these swings. And I love the swings. I love to go high. I love to go fast. I love to jump off the swings. And so I spent a lot of time at this park with my mom. And then when I was about 6 and a half, I moved out. I had to move into a foster home because my mom really struggled with mental health issues, which were connected to addictions. And so I couldn't live with her anymore. And I moved to Cole Harbour, which is like a suburb outside of Halifax. And, you know, where I lived, there were swings. It was a playground. We lived like walking distance to the school. And so, again, love the swings. But when I moved there, I would say to all the other kids, well, you have no idea. In Halifax, there are these swings that are the biggest swings I've ever seen. Like these things we have here are fine, but they're not nearly as big as the swings in Halifax. And I lived in that foster home for 4 years. And then I moved outside of Halifax and lived for 2 more years in rural Nova Scotia. So basically for 6 years, I walked around the world telling people about these swings that were ginormous, larger than life. And I'm not sure, probably I was really attached to the swings I associated with my mom. And so they were larger than life to me. Now, when I was 12 or 13, I moved back to Halifax, and I remember the first time I went to the Halifax Commons, and I don't know if we were driving by or like what context it was that we were there. We were teenagers. We weren't necessarily there to play, but I remember looking at the swings and going like, hold on a second. Those look like every other swing I've ever seen in my life. And I had this moment where I went, what do you mean? Those are not, like, they just didn't fit the image I had in my mind. They did not fit this larger than life image I had in my mind. And that was probably the first moment where I realized, I mean, at the time, my size, so I was small, so everything seemed big. But also what was happening in my life, like, why did I feel the need to talk about a swing set for 6 years? Probably because I just needed something positive to tether to my experience with my mom. So like what was happening in my life at that time impacted how I saw those swings and impacted the amount that I talked about those swings. So, you know, like fast forward, I'm an adult now. And, you know, I realize that how we see the world is shaped by our history. It's shaped by what's happening in the moment. It's shaped by what we want to see. Sometimes we just see what we want to see. We don't see other things. But I think more recently I've been thinking a lot about what can I do to shift how I see things? What can I do to make my perspective of things differently? And if you listen to the risk-taking podcast, you know, you would have heard me talking about trying to shift how I feel about myself when I do physical activity. And that's part of it, right? How do I shift my perspective on who I am and what I look like? And I think it's really important. I think it's going to shape how I, you know, step into the next part of my life. So I used to have a roommate whose name is Josh. And if you're out there, Josh, hello, miss you. Hope you're doing awesome. And, you know, Josh and I did not always have the same perspective. If anything, we had very different perspectives a lot of the time. But despite that, we became really good friends. We worked together for a year. We were roommates. And I learned a lot from him. And one of the things that has stuck with me since I worked with him and lived with him is he always used to say, you have a choice. You can love it or you can hate it. And, you know, the context of this is we did a lot of outdoor tripping stuff together. And there's, if you're doing a 7-day canoe trip, there's a point when you're just plumb exhausted and you kind of have to choose, do I take the next step and say that I hate this, which means I'm going to feel miserable? Or do I take the next step and say that I love it, and that's going to change it? I can remember doing a 10-day canoe trip once, and we just had to portage so much. It was just like portage after portage after portage. And there was a moment when I can remember sitting down for a break and actually like falling asleep. And that's not like me. I'm not someone who can just fall asleep anywhere, but that's just how exhausted I was. And that whole trip, there were so many moments where the young people that were on the trip with us were complaining about how tired they were. And I was exhausted and it was really hard. But I just kept saying to myself, I love it. I love it. Don't you love it? And it really did. I mean, I could laugh at myself and that made it easier and it made it, you know, more positive, but it just changed how I saw things. And so that really stuck with me, that let you have a choice. You can love it or you hate it. And I still to this day use that. But the other day, probably a couple weeks ago, I was listening to a science podcast, the Huberman Lab. And I really enjoy this podcast, but I tend to take it in like bite-sized chunks because it's very sciencey and it can be a lot to process. But Andrew Huberman started this section of his podcast, or like, I don't know, branch of his podcast, I think called Journal Club. And he does it with Peter Attia. And they each pick a science paper, scientific paper, research paper. And they bring it to the discussion. They talk through their papers. They debate about like the data, or they discuss about the data. And some of it is really kind of bringing light to like how research happens or some of the kind of critiques of certain types of research. And I kind of avoided this one for a while because I didn't think I would like it. But then I just needed something to listen to one day. And I turned it on. And I really found that I loved it. Like I really, really enjoyed listening to these two people talk about these research papers. And what I enjoyed the most was when they took the time to actually break down how people collect data in certain ways and how they kind of process data in certain ways. And it was really fascinating to me. And as I was listening to one of them, I had this moment where I thought, oh my goodness, had I been exposed to like this sort of, I mean, they didn't really have podcasts when I was in high school, but if I had been exposed to something like this while I was in school, I might have gone a completely different like career path. Like I could absolutely see myself doing research and doing science things. Because I'm naturally really curious and I'm always asking questions and I always want to find answers. And as I had that thought, what occurred to me was not that, oh, I took the wrong path or, oh, I should have done this. What occurred to me is, wow, isn't that cool that I could have gone a very different direction than the direction I mean, I'm a teacher now. I worked in nonprofit for 10 years. I could have gone in a completely different direction and also done some really cool things. And that would have worked with my skills and abilities. And so having that kind of aha moment is probably what led me to this thinking about perspective, because it's really easy for us to look back at our life with regret. It's really easy to look back and go, well, I didn't do that, or I could have done that. I often will look back and say, oh, you know, I didn't backpack Europe like everyone was doing in the movies when I was 18, right? All the movies when I was in high school, it felt like everyone was like backpacking Europe. They were taking a gap year. And I often looked back at that with regret because I was too scared, or I didn't have the resources, or I didn't know how. But when I had this aha moment about the me that could have been a scientist, I think what it made me realize is that, no, I didn't backpack through Europe. I did canoe trips and met some folks and worked with some folks who are still some of my very best friends. And no, I did not live in residence the first year I went to university. But instead, I lived with Josh and I lived with other people who brought a lot to my life. And so it really helped me go, I have a choice on how I look back at these moments. I have a choice on how I perceive my choices. And it's true, like we live in a world where, you know, the shouldas, like should have done this, could have done that, can really take a toll on your confidence. They can take a toll on just how you view the world, and they can really get you stuck in the mud, right? If you get really focused on the things you didn't do or could have done. But I think the shift for me is like, look at the things I did do and look at the things I could have done if I went in another direction. And for me, it was kind of freeing to have that thought. It was freeing to think I could have been a scientist, or, you know, I could have been a public speaker, or I could have done all kinds of different things. And I think it's freeing because it almost frees up my future a little bit. It's, you know, I'm a mom, I'm in my 40s, I have a full-time job. I can't help but think about, like, will I be able to retire ever? And sometimes you get stuck in that mud of, well, maybe I should have made different choices so that I could have a better pension or just have more money in the bank. But having this aha moment led me to the place of like, there are so many things that might be in my future. And that's really exciting. You know, there's so many things that could be. And there is no wrong path. If I had gone on to become a scientist, that would have been awesome. I would have led a very different life, but it would have been just as cool, I think. It would have been just as hard. You know, I don't think it would have been easier. It just would have been different. So I've been thinking a bit about how we shift that. And one way, I think, is to look back and pull the layers back on some of those decisions and push ourselves to think about them not as things we didn't do or regrets, but think about them as things that we could have done because we're awesome people and we're smart people and we're resilient people. And I think if we start to do that a little bit, it can help change how we think about our lives. And I think it can also help us see our progress, right? Like I know lots of people in the stage of life that I'm in that you get in a bit of a rut, right? You feel like you're just on a bit of a gerbil wheel going around and around. And it's hard to kind of poke your head out. And I often like the image of a meerkat. I love meerkats because they kind of pop up and they look around to see what's going on. And I really relate to that. But sometimes it's really hard. It's like you can't quite pop up. And so we have to push ourselves to do that a little bit and push each other to do that, you know, push your close friends to do that. I was thinking about 6 years ago, my friend Kathleen sent out an email about an upcoming event. And I would guess it was probably this time of year that she sent the email. And she sent an email asking if any of us would be interested in participating in a new triathlon that was going to happen at Kedgy, the national park here in Nova Scotia. And it was a women's only triathlon and multi-sport event. And it had never happened before. This was the first time. And she sent it. And, you know, Kathleen is someone who I've always really looked up to her and the way in which she kind of takes risks and tries new things. So I said, well, if Kathleen's doing it, then sure, I'll do it. And you know, when you're far enough away from something, you don't really think about it. It was a bit like that. Number one, I'd never done a triathlon. I don't even know if I'd done any kind of run event race thing ever up until that point. I didn't run at that point in my life. Running was not something that I did. I did bike and I did swim sometimes. So I guess I did do those two things. But a triathlon was not even a little bit on my radar. But it was February. She was doing it. I thought this could be cool. It'd be really great to see my friends. It'd be nice to go camping. And so I said, yes, sure. Sign me up. And probably a week later, I had some second thoughts. Like, what actually did I just commit to? What is involved in a triathlon? I did some research. And throughout the whole kind of lead up to the event, Kathleen always said, you know, if you can do each of the events individually, like if you can run, I just did the small one. So I did like a 2.5 kilometer run. So if you can do that, I mean, you can walk 2.5 kilometers if you need to. If you can do the bike part, if you can do the swim part, you'll be fine. You just put them all together. And although I am 100% certain that there are trainers out there who would very much disagree with that motto, it worked for me. It worked for a lot of the folks that were there. And so as we got closer to the event, I started to get more nervous, but I was like, well, I'm not backing out now. I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes. And I did it. And I won't, you know, go too much into the details, but needless to say, I swam. The swimming was the easiest part for me. I do love being in the water. And then I did the biking, which was hard. And to be honest, in the brochure or on the website, they said it was a very easy bike ride. It was pancake flat. Now, my definition of pancake flat is there's no hills. I think looking back now, I realize their definition of pancake flat meant there were no bumps because there were most definitely hills. So I was not ready for that. Someone who mostly just biked on flat surfaces. And then I did the run, and the run was really hard because I, at that time, like running was not something I enjoyed doing, but it was through the park, like through Kedgy Park, and it's just really beautiful in there. So even though I walked some, I ran some, and there were moments when I just wanted to give up, but also I was like, nope, we got to just cross the finish line. It doesn't matter if you're last, you're just going to cross the finish line. And I did. And it really was, of all the triathlons I've done, probably the most supportive, because it was all women. There were women of all ages, all sizes, all fitness levels. And so I didn't feel like, as on the outside, like I felt really included. And so, you know, instead of saying, no, I can't do that, I said yes. And that choice to do that has absolutely, like, I'm sitting in this podcast in part because I did that. And I look back at that, and if you listen to my last podcast, you would know that I'm, you know, wrestling with how my perspective on like how I show up at those events and how I, you know, enjoy those events. But that one in particular really did open doors for me and changed how I viewed those sorts of events, right? Because I had in my mind, those events were events for really athletic people who wore really fancy tight shorts and outfit things. They had really kind of like space style helmets and fancy bikes. And I didn't fit into that. That's not who I was. But that event changed my perspective, and it changed my perspective how I saw things moving forward. And so, like, we can look at what sits in front of us and the challenges that sit in front of us as things that are impossible, or we can see them as things that are possible. But we can also look back at those things and see those things as things that we've done, successes that we've had, and that can motivate us moving forward. You know, I think I always laugh at the part of the Shrek movie when Shrek is like, ogres are like onions. I think we're all like onions, you know, and that like we have lots of layers. And we got to pull those back sometimes if we really want to, I don't know, step into the world in a different way. And so I think for me, perspective taking is one of those layers where I really start to look at, how do I view that thing? Or how do I view that person, right? I have my own, you know, when we meet people, we have judgments about people. And, you know, what impacts how I feel about, you know, certain people or certain interactions? So I think it's a really important, you know, I think it's an important pause. And that's where I'm at with it, is a pause to say, okay, how do I look back? Because looking back and shifting that is going to help me shift how I look forward. I often think about my mom, and my mom grew up, my mom had a really hard life. You know, her mom died when she was just, I think like 2 or 3 years old. She was really young. And she had lots of older siblings. But, you know, in that period of time, I think there were maybe 10 or 11 of them in the family. And when my mom's mom died, like, they ultimately ended up getting split up because my mom's dad wasn't able, probably for lots of reasons, to take care of all of them. And so they kind of went to live in different places. So she had a really hard life. And then I don't know at what age, but at some point she started to suffer with mental illness, and that led to addictions. And so my mom made some pretty bad choices, one might say. You know, like, she was not able to mother me in the way that she wanted to, the way that I deserved. She went to some really dark places with her mental health. I'm most certain that she had shame and guilt right till the very last moment of her life about the life that she lived. And, you know, I think that can wear on someone. I know she struggled with that. And so she did dig her way out of that. And we were able to have a pretty remarkable relationship in my adult life, which was a gift. But when I think about the shame and guilt that she felt about how I experienced her mental health and what happened to me because of her choices, that was hard to watch. And yet, I think what I wish my mom understood is that we are not the sum of our bad decisions, right? We are not all the bad things we've done or all the mistakes we've made. You know, when I think of my mom, I think of the very best pizza I've ever had. I have this like really distinct memory of this pizza just filled with the best ingredients. I think she made the best spaghetti sauce, and I don't have the recipe, so I don't think it can ever be recreated, but she hands down made the best spaghetti sauce ever. And just thinking about it, I can taste it. But she also taught me a lot about life. She taught me about second and third chances and how sometimes we need to give people second and third chances. And she taught me that kindness above everything else, that we have a choice to be kind in this world to other people. She taught me about love, and that love should be unconditional. Love should never come with conditions. She just taught me so much, and I wish and I hope that, you know, she could she can see, or I don't know where people go after they die. But what I know and what I hope is that somewhere that she understands that, like, she didn't leave behind a bunch of mistakes. She left behind a bunch of gifts. And, you know, at her funeral, there were, I mean, I'm getting choked up just like thinking about it, but at her funeral, there were so many people there, and you could tell that she left a hole in the hearts of so many people, and not because of like her mistakes, but because of all the wonderful things that she did. Like that's what she left behind. And I don't know that she had the ability to look back with that perspective. I look back at her life with that perspective. And not to say that the things that happened to me are okay, you know, like no child should have to go through the things that I did, but I have a choice on, like, I can't change that. We can't change our past. But I do know that she left me with a lot of gifts. And so, you know, I think when I think about perspective taking, I just think about it would have freed her a little bit if she had been able to see just the gifts that she had left and not just the bad things that had happened. And I think that really is one of the things that inspires me to even podcast, is that life is hard and crunchy and complicated and messy, and we get hurt, and sometimes we hurt others, but we're here. And, you know, I think there's so many different ways we can do little tiny things that just help us be in the world in a bit of a different place. And I hope that through this podcast, that anyone who's listening can think a little bit about that and think about how you can you shift your perspective on yourself, you know, free yourself from guilt or shame that you might have. But also just how we see the world and what's possible in front of us. I love that I could have been a scientist. I think it's really cool. I also love that I spent 6 years thinking that the Halifax Common swings were larger than life, like literally two stories high. I love that because that gave me something magnificent to think about and something magnificent to talk about. And so, you know, I think giving ourselves the gift, it's a gift we give ourselves to think differently about our perspectives. I think that's helpful. So thank you again for joining me at the Story Cafe podcast for this episode on perspective. I hope that somewhere in there is something that's helpful for you. For me, just talking through these things helps me, actually. Gives me a lot to think about. I think it helps me be a better teacher. It helps me be a better mom. So I'm appreciative that I get to be here. And hopefully there's someone out there listening that it's helpful for you too. So until next time, enjoy hot drinks because they make us feel good. Snuggle with yourself or your pets or your family. And until next time, we'll see you soon.